In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Today's gospel passage and sermon text is the beloved Beatitude of the fifth chapter of Matthew. What is a Beatitude? But another word for blessed or happy. And there are many Beatitudes found in the Bible, all the New Testament, especially the Psalms. Psalm 31, blessed is the one whose fault is taken away. Psalm 105, blessed are they who observe what is right. Proverbs 3, blessed is the one who finds wisdom. The one we love, the passage that is dearest to the Christian heart, the Beatitudes found in the fifth chapter of Matthew. And why is that? Perhaps maybe it's because it's one, like our Father, it's one degree separation from the very heart and love of our Messiah, our Lord. When we read or hear those words, we are hearing the very words of our Lord. They instantly bring calm and courage to us. Remember, before the pandemic, we always read morning and evening prayer, as we do still, in the church, in the chapel. We do it here now. And often just three or four morning prayer, and often no one at the evening prayer, the priest or the leader would read it, so the names of the sick list would be read. Now, the pandemic, one of the gifts of the tragedy, pandemic, is we have 20 or 30 at morning prayer, and 10, 5 to 15 at evening prayer with people present. An amazing thing, but one day I was there ready to read evening prayer by myself. The door was open, and a family walked through the door, and they were crying, not just crying. They're weeping. And the context was that I later discovered they had just left a hospital, a nearby hospital. The mother had just died. And they were passing by and they saw the door open at the church. And they came in, and the patina of 175 years of prayer and love instantly gave them comfort. And I asked if they wanted to remain while I read the evening prayer. Yes. And I quickly kind of changed things around and chose the fifth chapter of Matthew, the Beatitudes. And I remember as the Beatitudes were read, physically seeing a calm come upon the family and a comfort. They are so beautiful and they're worthy. And on the one hand, as beautiful and poetic and calming as they are, they also can be quite intimidating. I'm reminded of the 19th chapter of Matthew when Jesus was talking about wealth and that it's easy for a camel to go in the eye of a needle, that a rich person go to heaven, and the disciples just throw their hands up. Said, well, then who can be saved? Well, sometimes when you think about the Beatitudes, wow, what a tall order. They're read also on the Feast of All Saints, because the saints are the ones who have lived the Beatitudes. We are in the process of becoming saints. But who can fulfill all those things? Poor, spirit, merciful, those who are persecuted. Wow. Yes, to be sure, we are to try. To be sure, we are to do what we can in life to live the Beatitudes. But before any of that, first and foremost, they are there to tell us not necessarily what to do, but who we are. I'm reminded of baptism. When a baby is baptized, before that baby can make God happy or mad, that baby is told who he or she is. You are the beloved of God. You are God's own forever. Don't you ever forget it. And from that point on, with that kind of love, that child can grow then to try to fulfill the commandments and the duties of God. And the Beatitudes tell us who we are. My grandmother, I remember telling in the height of the Depression, a story I've never forgotten, that she taught school some. And this was days before social programs, before paid lunches in schools, and she taught in a rural area of the South, and there was poverty. And she remembered one boy named Bobby. He missed half the year because he had to help his family on the farm. And when he came, he was not just poor, but he lived in abject poverty. And the kids didn't bully him or tease him. They just ignored him. And his clothes were just rags. And one day he fell and he fainted. And come to find out, he hadn't had breakfast that morning and dinner the night before. And she went home and she took a 50-cent piece, which wasn't even a small thing in the height of the Depression. She took construction paper. She made up an award. Award of responsibility, dignity, and reverence. And it was authentic. He was all those things. But she gave this award to him in the class. And his countenance just changed.
And she gave it not just because of what he'd done, but to let him know who he was, what he could be. He quit school because he had to work. She never knew what became of Bobby, but to the day she died, she prayed for that boy. Because you have to tell him who he was. And that's what the Beatitudes do for you and for me. And so today, I'd like just to mention a couple, not all eight of them. We would be here until evening prayer. But just a couple, because they're worthy. And blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. How the poor in spirit are blessed. Well, Martin Luther, when he died, they found in his pocket a note. And it said this, "We're all beggars." It is true. What is a beggar is wholly dependent on the goodness and generations of others for his or her various existence. We are wholly dependent on the love and the grace of God for our spiritual subsistence. And the problem sometimes with prestige and money and status, all those things aren't bad unless they blind us to our need for God. And that's when the problem starts. We are always to remember, as Martin Luther made himself, that we are beggars, and that we are in need of the love of God. We are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The late Queen, how beautiful. Mourning is the price we pay for love. If you've never loved, you can never mourn. We don't just mourn the people we love who have died. Sometimes we mourn our lives, the mistakes we've made, or tragedies that have happened. But you have to be able to feel in order to mourn. And like the poor in spirit, mourning often brings us to the arms of God. And sometimes we mourn even our doubt and cynicism, but it leads us to the arms of God. Blessed are those who mourn. I love this one. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I've never heard that before. The meek? I remember once visiting a person of mine many years ago in the hospital. And I got the room number, and I went, the elevator opened to the fifth floor, and I heard all this screaming and yelling and commotion. And I was walking to the room number, and I realized, oh, that's my parishioner. And nurses were running in and out, pillows flying, and I walked in there, and she was screaming, oh, hi, Father. Did you bring the sacrament? I said, well, she says, yes, if you got the advocate for yourself, otherwise no one else will be. And you're just fine. I say that because how do the meek inherit the earth? The meek doesn't mean you don't have courage and bravery and unction and feeling. Jesus was meek, but he had what was most courageous. He personified bravery and courage more than any other human being that's ever lived. St. Alban, he's one of these windows over here, first martyr of Britain, was meek in that he used his courage and his bravery for the betterment of others. A priest was being persecuted, and so he hid the priest and dressed in his clothes, and he was tortured and martyred in place of the priest. He was brave and courageous, and he was meek, because he placed himself low for the greater good of others. Not long ago, just the light going in now, don't worry. In Japan, that was a typhoon or earthquake when the nuclear plant went awry, and some of the elderly of Japan said, we'll go in, we'll die, but we've lived our lives, and we'll help repair what needs to be repaired. That is meek, using their courage and the bravery but for the better good of others. One more. Blessed are those who hunger. We talked about that in Advent. Spiritual hunger is the greatest gift we can ever have. And physically, if you don't have hunger, you die because you can't eat. We often know people who are sick or with medication who lose their hunger. It's the most horrific thing that can ever happen. It's torture to eat. Blessed are those who want God. Blessed are those who spiritually have hunger, because it always leads us to the things of God. If we ever feel ourselves cynical or hardened, let us pray never to lose our hunger, because it always brings us to being filled. Those are just a few. The Beatitudes are worthy of something, an old-fashioned thing we don't do anymore. They're worthy to be memorized. As your pastor, I commend you to memorize the Beatitudes of the 10th chapter of Matthew, because when we memorize Scripture, we digest it. And then the Holy Spirit has copy from which to work. It can grab up these words and apply them to the situations and the relationships of our lives, and nothing can take it away from us. Consider, at least memorize a few verses of today's passage. And it'll be with us for the rest of our lives. May we appreciate the Beatitudes that tell us who we are. We are the Beatitudes. In the love of Jesus, we are the blessed of God. Amen.